here myself. Ah, there I am. Wonderful. Welcome. Welcome, friends, to worship. Welcome to Christ Church Uniting. My name is Liz Levitt. I'm pastor at this congregation, and I invite you right now into this time of worship and into this community. This is an open space where all are welcome. So whoever you are, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, however you're joining us, if you're sitting here in front of me, if you're tuning in live online, if you're watching this 3 weeks from now, however you're coming to this, I celebrate your presence and I welcome you into this body. So we are starting on a little journey today, and I don't use that word unintentionally. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about travel as a spiritual act. How does that sound? Okay, we'll have some imagery related to that. We're going to be thinking about travel as a way to think about our journey of faith, which I thought was appropriate for a number of reasons. One is, I know some of us will be traveling this summer or have been for the first time in a while, getting back into that. I know some of us aren't ready for that, so maybe this will be just a way to sort of live vicariously through old memories or other people's experience. And I recognize that all of us, of course, are on an inner journey, right? A spiritual journey, which is what brings us here. And I think all of us have a ways to go, right, on the journey with ourselves and on the journey out of this season of difficulty. I found this great poem that I really love. This is another one by Jan Richardson. It's actually for Epiphany, which is around Christmas time, but I thought it fits so appropriately for our sort of travel metaphor today. I want to use it to invite us into this time of worship. It is a blessing for those who have far to travel. So just take a deep breath and hear what she has to say. If you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it. Might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you have known toward the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road that we see it only by stages as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping step by single step. Know that there is nothing for it but to go, and by our going to take the vows the pilgrim makes, to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dream, to follow the star that only you will recognize, to keep an open eye for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way. There are vows that only you will know, the secret promises for your particular path, and the new ones you will need to make whenever the road is revealed by turns you could not have foreseen. These vows, keep them, break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed, the one only you can give, before turning to go home by another way. So I offer that to your imagination today as a way to enter into this time of tending to our spiritual journey. I like to think of church as a pilgrim way station where we come to get the supplies we need, be that fellowship, be that nourishment, be that encouragement for our journey. And I light this candle as a symbol of that and as a symbol of God's promise that whenever we come together seeking those things, they are provided for us by God's Spirit. We're going to open our worship today with a song being sung live. Can you believe that? first time in a while, I want to welcome Diane for this appropriately journey-themed song she will offer along with Bo. I want to welcome back Bo Souza today. So let's continue our worship in this time of music.
Lead me, I can.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Bo. It's wonderful to have being music made in our midst again. The music always fills me with a sense of peace, and I'm just going to invite us in this moment, as has become our practice, to offer our peace to those around us, right? If we're sitting at home, perhaps someone sitting with us, or just thinking about sharing our peace with a community. If you're here, maybe you want to make a peace sign and say, the peace of Christ be with you. Can you catch somebody's eye and do that? The peace of Christ be with you. So I think some of our cakey are on summer vacation, so there aren't any sitting right here, but I'm wondering if there may be some tuning in online. So if that is true, tell us that you're there. Say hi in the comments and come close to your screens. Now, I have to make a little confession. I had a pretty cool little sack full of fun props for my cakey sermon today, and they're so fun. And they are also sitting on my kitchen counter right now. So I'll have to show those to you another time. But I was going to talk to you about something really important that's on lots of our minds, which is salt. You guys like salt? Yes. Well, I was going to show you that I grew up just thinking that salt only came in a blue round container like this with a little girl with an umbrella on it, right? And then I started traveling and I found out there's lots of different kinds of salt out there. There's black salt and pink salt and chunky salt and sea salt and smoked salt. And from Christmas this time, I got some salt peppered salt. I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to put it on things when it says salt and pepper. And it really kind of expanded my sense of sort of all the different tastes that there are in the world. You know, God says, or Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And I think one thing that I've learned from traveling around on things like summer vacation, which I think is what a lot of you are doing, is that we can all be salt in different ways. And so expanding our mind to understand the different ways that we exist and express God's Spirit is a really important thing. So I would encourage you to be looking out for new kinds of salt wherever you are. Maybe you bring some back. And to just know that you are, in fact, a blessing to this world, just as you are. So think about that, kids, and I bless you as we go forward from here, and I'll hope to see some of you face-to-face very soon. And now I'm going to make a little transition. I'm going to stand over here at the podium, and we're going to have our time for Scripture. So our reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Exodus. This is chapter 13, and I would just encourage you to be, as normal, sort of visualizing what you can hear in this text and also listening for the Spirit's word to you and to the church in this time. So here's what Exodus has to say. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud day by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. And neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. To that I would say, holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. So I know this is not the case for all families, and so I do feel grateful that it was the case for mine, but my parents did not argue all that often when I was growing up, just sort of over the normal trials and tensions of families living together. But when I think back about it, I recognize that often when they did argue, it started in the car. I wonder if anyone's had this experience. Now, I would attribute this to the fact that my parents have very different navigational methods, which do not mesh terribly well together. So it is true, and everyone knows that my mom knows about this, my mother has just this innate sense of direction. Like in any city that's even moderately familiar to her, she can go literally anywhere. I mean, to this day, if you say, oh, I was going to stop by the mall on my way home, she'll say, yeah, you go down this street, but don't forget you have to be in the rightmost lane because you're going to curve onto this thing and then turn left at the gas station. So she could get anywhere. My father had no sense of direction, but happened to be one of the world's best map readers. I mean, you give that guy a compass, he could get literally anywhere. He could read any kind of map, right? Contour maps, city maps, any maps he could read. The problem was, he literally could not get anywhere without a map. My parents went to the same church for about 26 years in Portland, and every single time, my dad used his GPS to go there from their house. And think about 52 weeks a year times, that's a lot of times, right? Still using the GPS. So that combination of sort of believing you should get everywhere by innate sensibility and believing you need a map to get anywhere, that combination is a little bit like explosive, as you can imagine. So my dad would be in the car with a map, like, I think we're gonna go 3 blocks and turn right after 0.1 miles. My mom would be like, I think it's up here. I think we're just going to kind of go around, you know, and, well, no, I think it's that you got to go this way, you know, and it just didn't mesh very well. And actually, I was so surprised. My parents had a very wonderful and long-term partnership, so once when talking about that, I just offhandedly asked my mom if she ever thought about divorcing my dad, and I was shocked when she said, of course. She said, once we went to vacation in the Bahamas, and they drove on the other side of the road, and driving back to our hotel from the airport, I thought, I'm going to leave him right now. which, thinking about it later, made sense. You know, and they would bicker a little bit about how to get placed in the car. And if we were on one of my mom's sort of intuitive routes, my dad would get really worked up. This is not how the map says to go. She would say, well, we're taking the scenic route. And I was thinking about that the other day because actually Oliver has become a bit of a navigator himself. Like he's really into learning. Oh, we're going to turn left to go to church, or left to go to school, or where's that? And he just discovered the idea of shortcuts, right? So he's always asking about taking shortcuts. Poor kid. He's a little limited by living on an island where there just aren't numerous ways to go anywhere most of the time. There's really only one shortcut on our way from home to school, and sometimes he'll ask to take it. And sometimes it just isn't practical right at the moment. We'll say, no, we can't take the shortcut. And he says, fine, I guess we'll take the long cut. Which when I read our scripture passage this morning from Exodus, I noticed exactly what's happening to the Israelites, right? Did anybody notice that? God is taking them on the long cut. Maybe we could say God is taking them on the scenic route. I don't know if you noticed that. Now, I have to say just a little aside, I was super excited about our scripture passage today because I honestly don't think that I've ever noticed this part of Exodus before, though I'm sure I read it. It's not anywhere in the lectionary, so we don't hear it in our regular schedule of readings, and I always get excited when I find new things in the Bible, and that if you need some encouragement for reading your Bible, that's it, never gets old. So here are the Israelites. They're leaving Egypt. They're finally free. This is the bit right after all the plagues, and just a bit right before the Red Sea, which you remember from either Sunday school or Charlton Heston's Ten Commandments. And so they fled Egypt, and now it's just them and God, right? And God says, this way, over here, guys, right here. But you've got to believe that some among them were like, wait a minute, shouldn't we be going that way? You know, isn't it faster if we go over here through the bit about the Philistines, right? Because this way that you're taking us just leads to the dead end of the sea. You know, you got to imagine there were some skeptics among them, which imagining that actually fills me with comfort because I know it's sometimes hard to follow God, and I can sense that even when God is literally in front of you as a pillar of fire, there's some amount of uncertainty. But I also like this story because I think it references what I see as a very real tension that exists within most of us about how we navigate the broader terrain of our lives. You know, I know that on the one hand, many of us can easily wax poetic about how life is a journey and we should enjoy the ride. Perhaps we love travel and the experience of expanding our horizons as we're just completely present in the moment in new places, reveling in serendipity. Or perhaps we enact our spirit of discovery right in our own backyard. Look at this. Look at the beauty. Look at this day. But on the other hand, I think most of us admit we are profoundly affected by our culture's emphasis on expediency, right? The best route to get somewhere is the fastest one, right? The best line at the grocery store is, there's only one of you thinks the shortest one. The rest of you just get in the long line. I should go to your grocery store, right? The shortest line, right? The best time for something to happen that we want to happen is right now. And I think a lot of times these tendencies are often wrestling within us, right? We believe in waiting for the right time, but we really wish that time would hurry up. We want to live in the moment, but then we find our mind wants to live in the future a little bit. And what I think this story from Exodus does, and the spiritual life more broadly, I think, is add another dimension to that internal struggle, asking us to consider not only where we go or how we get there, but who we become as we go. You know, I think that's what this little quip about God's directional instruction of the Israelites is all about. I mean, why did God lead the Israelites through the wilderness rather than the faster route? Because God was worried that if they faced the trials along the shorter route, which was struggle with other peoples, they might lose their faith. So God took them along this longer road that would lead them to a different set of struggles. It was a more of an internal struggle for them to become, emerge as a unified and faithful people, relying on God and trusting in God's endurance presence with them along the road. So yes, it was about who they were to become along the journey, not only how they were to arrive at their destination. Now, speaking of travel, I wonder if any of you out there are fans of the travel guru Rick Steves. Any Rick Steves people? Love Rick Steves. I just can't get enough of Rick Steves, that Lutheran guy who's just, you know, trotting around Europe all the time. I always loved his travel programs, and we always sort of, when we put them on in our house, we always say, well, this isn't really like screen time for the kids because it's educational, right? They're traveling the world. So I really appreciate the way that he frames travel as slightly distinct from tourism. Has anyone ever heard him talk about that, right? That tourism is like visiting a place and just seeing it, checking all the boxes, right? Trevi Fountain, check. Eiffel Tower, check. Big Ben, check, right? We see new sights. But we don't fundamentally change as a result of seeing those things. Now, when Rick Steves talks about travel, he talks about immersing oneself in another country or another place, right? Encountering its people, and that way expanding one's horizons, right? It's more about allowing a place to shape you than sort of consuming the wonders it has to offer. And I wonder if we can't talk about the spiritual life in similar terms. You know, for some people, the life of faith is kind of a checklist, like went to church on Sunday, check, you know, assured my salvation, check. But I think a further journey is to consider the spiritual life as a path we walk with God in service to our becoming who God has meant us to be. You know, it's an exercise not only in believing the right things, or even in doing the right things, but in trusting God to guide us on a path which makes us righteous, right? Whatever that means for each of us. You know, it may not be direct, it may not be immediate, but I think it is the sacred path that we're trying to take, and hopefully that we're coming here seeking inspiration for. And I love that this little kind of tidbit from Exodus leads us to that. You know, I'm glad for the encouragement to trust in taking the long cut, in taking the scenic route, not only so that we can see beautiful things, but so that we can become a more beautiful version of the person God has invented us to be. And my point this morning is simply to commend that metaphor to your imagination as you make your way through this summer. You know, perhaps you'd like to ask yourself, where are you going? And I want you to think about that as broadly as you can. Where are you going geographically? Where are you going existentially? Where are you going spiritually, professionally? Where are you going in your relationships? What is the journey that you are on, is another way to put it. Where are you going, and how will you get there? What will you prioritize along the way? Timeliness or directness? Will you wait for the fullness of time to make your journey? Will you trust God's presence with you along the path? And here's the real question that I think is important to tend to on this day. Where are you going and who do you intend to become along the way? You know, when I think about all of the greatest spiritual wise folks, the sages throughout the ages, all of the patriarchs and matriarchs and scriptures, they were all spiritual travelers. They were all people who stepped over their threshold and out into the beautiful world that God made and found that even though they may have ended up far from the familiar, they came home to themselves. They came home to their community. And certainly they came home into the presence of God. So I just offer that to you as you imagine or plan for or remember your summer travels and think about what's next for you in this spiritual life. So I offer these words in the name of the God who created, redeemed, and who sustained us always. Amen. We've invited Bo to share some music with us at this time, just an opportunity for us to enjoy his gifts and to be in a spirit of reflection. So I invite us into that now. Thank you, Bo. We move now into a time of prayer for our community. This is a time when we name the joys and concerns of our hearts. We bring the joys and concerns of the world into this place, and we offer those to God, ask God the Spirit to be present and active in those people and places and relationships. If you are joining us online, you have the benefit of being able to type your comment, type your prayer requests into the comments. I would invite you to do those now. If you're here, you need to catch me beforehand or email us prayers@ccukailua.org. I'm going to name just a few that I'm aware of today. The first is that Jim Z. Louie is back in the hospital just these past few days. So some of the stents they had placed in his previous hospitalization failed. And so they're thinking about new methods to help him regain strength and to help his heart do its work. So we pray for him for healing and strength and prayers that he would be encouraged in this time. With Lori Noda, we continue to pray for her friend, Ms. Florence Tanaka, who's facing some transition in her life and who also needs a spirit of healing. With Bob Schornstmeyer, we continue to pray for Sister Sally and brother-in-law Ralph Hartman, who is undergoing an extreme course of chemotherapy right now. And so we just pray for his endurance in the face of this and pray blessings on a visit from some of their kids at this time to lift his spirits. We pray with the whole community at the passing of Bob Nakata, and actually our flowers today, which are given by Paul Brennan, remember him, a local congressperson, pastor, community organizer, leader, and a huge voice of advocacy for the vulnerable here in Hawaii. And so we honor his legacy and pray for those who mourn his loss. So with those prayer requests, I would also lift up a prayer for Europe. I know that's on many of our hearts right now, flooding and the search for folks that are unaccounted for there. And so we just pray for that and that we might continue to find sensible solutions to address our changing climate. So with those things, I'm just going to invite us to be in a spirit of peace and to gather our hearts together in prayer in a way that feels comfortable to us. So let's say, oh God, always on the move, who lives within and among and in front of us, whose glory fills all of creation and whose presence we find wherever we go, we know that each of us are on a journey. And we would ask you to be with us in our steps ahead. We know some among us are on a journey of healing, and we ask you to fill them with strength and hope. We know some among us are in a journey of transition. We ask you to fill them with courage and assurance. We know that some among us are in a transition from this life into the next, and we ask that you might surround them with a spirit of peace and faith. God, however we are traveling, we're moving out of these pandemic days and into a new season. We ask that you would surround us with your loving care, that you would protect us from danger, bringing us safely to the journey's end, wherever that is. God, today especially, we ask that you might help us to become all that you would ask of us along the way, that we might learn to trust your presence in front of us, behind us, before us, and above us, that you might give us courage in that assurance. We ask all these things. We present our prayers to you, both those that we've spoken and those that remain in the silence of our hearts. We lift them up, and we are bold to do so because of the way that you are present with us in the person of Jesus, our Savior, our brother, and our friend, who gave us so many gifts, among them these words that we might use when we pray to you, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Perhaps some of you know that my husband Jason and I just got back from a trip. And the funniest thing happened while we were gone, which was that a lot of our clothes like shrank in the humidity or something. The strange things happen in Hawaii. Your shoes fall apart and you go on vacation, all your clothes. So, you know, we spent a lot of time just eating and drinking with our friends while we were away. And that was a delight. And it made me think that that is one of the things we do when we travel, right? And one of the ways to think about this table is like a pilgrim way station, right? Is the place that we get together for nourishment on our journey, right? We're all going and coming from this place to different challenges and different places and different work, but we're coming together here not only to enjoy each other's company, but also to be nourished by that spirit and certainly by God's grace present here with us. This is a table that's open to all. We welcome those here and those joining virtually to participate by grabbing a funny cup here or just a morsel of food you have wherever you are. We want you to know that we believe that we are one body by sharing this feast and by inviting God's presence into it wherever we are. We do join together and believe that we're unified by that, and we believe that God invites everyone to be present. So if you feel compelled to participate in this meal with us, we are glad for that. And you know, we remember that on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, it was actually the night that he was to be arrested that he got together with his friends, that he ate a meal with them. And that in that meal, he did something unexpected, which was that he took a loaf of bread and having blessed it and given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them. He said, "This is my body given for you." He said, "Do this in order to remember me." You understand that it was the same way after supper that he took a cup. Having blessed it and given thanks, he poured out that cup. He gave it to them. He said, this cup represents a new way of being with God that's made possible by my life and death. And so drink this, and in this way, remember me. And so as often as we come together, we take these simple things and we ask that they might be a way for the Spirit to nourish us. They might be a way for the Spirit to fill us up for whatever's ahead. We do that with boldness and courage that the Spirit is in fact present. And we take these things knowing that this is the bread of life and the cup of blessing for us. So let's take these now together. God, we ask that these blessings, your grace, present in visible form, might give us what we need today, that we might feel full, that we might feel these gifts are a foretaste of all your provision to come. We're grateful for the opportunity to gather together around this table in many different ways and ask that you might equally bless our fellowship to be filled up with a sense of your justice and your mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to, as we always do, move into a time of hearing and perhaps very quietly humming the doxology. And together, if you're at home, belt it out, invite your neighbors into this beautiful song. But we're also going to be in a spirit of thinking about how are we each individually and how are we as a community being called to respond to the good news that's shared in our midst. So today, the good news that God's with us on the journey. Maybe those are, we're mentally making a list of acts of caretaking or service, connecting with people in our community. It could also be financial gifts to the ministry of this church given here or online. But let's just be in a spirit of thinking about how we can respond while we listen and hum together. Please be seated. We hope that God will bless all that's been shared and committed to in this time, and we're grateful for the generosity of this community. And speaking of this community, this is the time when we just name things that are going to have happened, are going to happen, might happen, just so that you can feel them in your mind and then follow up later by reading our emails. A fellowship committee is going to be formed by Rachel. Give a wave to those that can see you. She is going to be planning some fellowship opportunities coming up as it becomes safer for us to gather and do those things, including, what a cool graphic, tailgate party, which is happening on August 29th. I think we're going to figure out how you can bring your own things. Maybe we can cook some meats together. We're going to be very safe, but we're excited to just kind of say goodbye to summer with you. So please put that on your calendar. It'll be right after worship here. Yesterday, we had a cool arts and crafts club. We did arts and crafts. It was on the lanai. It was just a beautiful day of peace. We hope that some more of you will join us when we do that next month. I have a little note here about, did you notice that beautiful singing Diane did earlier? Yay. You too can do some singing. We're inviting, as we have done in the past over the summer, people to make musical contributions. So I think you can talk with Paul Belanger if you have a song you'd like to offer or some sort of musical installation. We can't sing with you yet. We hope that time will be soon, but we would invite you to be thinking about making a contribution in that way. Be prepared. That's the Boy Scout motto, and also the motto of disaster preparedness. We try to come back to this. I think a lot of you are in like long-term Hawaii resident complacent, it's fine mode, but I just like to remind you, because we value life and we like all of you very much, to please be prepared for hurricanes. They are forming in the Pacific as we speak. We have sent out several times what you need, so maybe today you will just feel so inspired, you will go open your hurricane kit, throw away the things that expired in 1997, and get really ready for what's happening now. So I would encourage you to do that. Are there other things for the good of the order that I have forgotten that you would like to mention? Nobody is waving hysterically, so I'm going to say no, it is time to close. So let me just give you some words of blessing before Bo sends us out with a blessing of his music. And I will say, life is short, and we do not have long to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and may the divine mystery, which surpasses all our understanding, but who made us and who loves us and who travels with us, may that God bless us and keep us always in peace. Amen. Thanks, and see you next week.